What's going on, everybody? Monday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're deeper into the fantasy playoffs, so we're checking in. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, James Harding, our guests. Follow him at Waiver Wire James. What's going on, guys? How are you doing in your leagues right now?
What's up, James? Welcome back. And bad news, guys. I lost a tiebreaker on Sunday, so I will not be carrying on to the championship. James, tell me your fortunes are better than mine.
I wish I could. Last week I had the highest point total in my league, and then this week, unfortunately, my lineup went cold, and I got pretty waxed by the one seed. So, you know, it happens. I made it to the semifinal. I think I had the most man games lost in my league this year to injury and COVID. So, you know, it was an uphill battle just to get to the playoffs. But, you know, there's always next year, right?
Yes, if you're in multiple of your championship rounds, we're going to help you win at least one of them, but we're looking to help win you both. You know, everybody's in multiple leagues out there. So anybody who got this far, kudos to you. Robbie and my experts league were third out of 12, but only 2 points behind the leader. So we still got some life here. I got a matchup in a league with Davey that I'm in first, and that's my only head-to-head league that I'm in the semifinals, and I think it's semis this week and finals next week. I missed the playoffs in Chris Meany's league. That's a face-offs league where I was just kind of married to my keepers, and then one other roto league that I'm in with some colleagues from work. I think I'm in fourth or fifth out of 10, still within striking distance, but that's one for me that lends to a very difficult decision that I wanted to ask you guys about, because I have Philip Grubauer, and I know there are a lot of people out there that have Grubauer and or Mikko Rantanen. I actually have both of those guys in that league, Rantanen and Grubauer. So do I take the risk? Do I start them? It's a weekly league. Like, what do I do? Or do I take the safer route and just take some other guys that will get me some production? I also have Burakovsky in that league to get some Avalanche exposure, and he's on the top line and ripping it up right now.
I'd probably have a hard time sitting Rantanen no matter what the situation is, Petey, just right, because he's ripping it up with the goal scoring this year. So I think I'd roll the dice there, and with Burakovsky because he is on our waiver wire list, James. But then I think with a player like Grubauer, you probably sit that and at least try to guarantee your starts. Now that the Avalanche have a little bit of a three-headed monster there in net and probably trying to rest Grubauer the rest of the way. And for me, James, I think this is the exact reason why I lost this season. I kept my guys that were either getting games postponed or that looked like they would be coming back like in the same fantasy week. And I refused to make changes on the waiver wire because, Petey, I didn't want to lose a guy like Rantanen. I didn't want to lose a guy like Grubauer, but now I'm not playing fantasy hockey anymore. So it's like, pick your poison. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I'm always going to roll the dice on making a tough drop at this time of year, James, than if it was, you know, a little bit earlier in the season.
Yeah, at this point in the season, you have to be willing to cut bait. I can understand early in the season, middle of the season, when you're still in the thick of things, and you know you want to hold on to a guy because you know you have some weeks to spare. You can throw him on, you know, like an IR plus spot, and of course you can throw him on an IR plus spot right now. I would probably say I'm more apt to, you know, cut bait with a guy like Grubauer and keep a guy like Rantanen, but you know, when you look at what's going on with Colorado, we don't know when Mikko Rantanen is coming back. And at worst, with Andre Burakovsky, he's going to be playing on that second line with Nazem Kadri, and he's shown that he has a lot of chemistry there. And at best, he's going to be playing with, you know, two of the best forwards in the NHL on one of the best top lines in the NHL. And so I think that right now I'm more apt to, in a situation like that, roll Burakovsky and just, you know, if Rantanen comes back, he comes back. But, you know, you're still going to have a guy who's guaranteed to be in the top six for Colorado. You know, Grubauer is a tough bullet to bite right now, but if you have other goaltending options that are going to give you starts, and especially quality starts, at this point in the season, you kind of have to just have no loyalty whatsoever and be willing to do what's best to get that title.
Right. And Rantanen, like, is the boom is really good. If you get him for a few games later in the week, he's what, second or third in the league in goals this year behind Austin Matthews. So that's the ceiling you're talking about there. Of course, Grubauer is like the best in shutouts and one of the best in wins among goalies, but you can't take that risk with both guys. I think with the goalie, I'm going to roll with Shesterkin and Chris Drieger. So those are both quality options whenever they're in net. I did that last week. I didn't play Grubauer and it worked out well for me. So I think I'm going to roll in that direction. One thing about the Avalanche, I know Kadri is close to droppable at this point, but just be careful because he does have the high floor with the shot volume and the hits. And if he starts to bust out here, you could really regret dropping a player like that. So know the scope of your league before you drop a Kadri. And one other thing about Colorado, they're kind of like the Capitals, where anytime guys are missing, even their top players, you'll see these other guys emerge and produce in a big way, like Burakovsky, back-to-back multi-point games. Whenever he's on the top line and or first power play, which he's on both right now, he's one of the streakiest but most valuable, high-ceiling players in the game. Also for the Capitals, right? We see even Daniel Sprong like step in when Ovi was out and score two goals. I mean, right, Robbie, the Capitals do this time and time again when any player in that lineup is out for a game or two. Guys like Eller or Sprong or, you know, different players like that, Oshie, they step up in a big way.
And you can look at the complete list of waiver wire selections for championship week on NHL.com/fantasy. And on this list, I kind of side with you on that argument where I'd rather take a streamer from a really good team, a really high offensive ceiling team, like a Burakovsky. Also, Nick Foligno kind of is that mold too, where the Toronto Maple Leafs have so much goal scoring depth where I feel better about picking those kind of guys up. Now, I still wouldn't hesitate to pick up a Vrana or a Bjorkstrand, who's on the list as well. But if it came down to me on availability, James, I would always go with a Nick Foligno for Toronto. I'd always go a Burakovsky for Colorado, just because I like having a little safety net there with the depth.
Yeah, and guys like that are always going to provide you with that upside. Obviously, we know that Nick Foligno hasn't been the 70-point player that he was, you know, 5-6 years ago, but he's still a very good complementary piece. Andrei Burakovsky has you know, been a 20-goal scorer before. He's been a 40-point scorer before. So, you know, we know that these guys are capable of producing and of, you know, putting the puck in the net when they have good players and good talent around them. And we're seeing that right now. How many times have we said every time that Andrei Burakovsky has been up on that first line, you need to go and add this guy because all he does when he's there is produce. And what does he do? He produces. And right now you look at Nick Foligno, who's playing on that top line in Toronto with Austin Matthews and Mitchell Marner. And he has, you know, 2 points, 3 shots on goal and 5 hits in 2 games. So, you know, he's bringing something that line, you know, doesn't really see very much in the physicality aspect of everything, but he's also, you know, has that rejuvenated confidence of playing arguably with the two best players at even strength that he's, you know, ever played with in his career. So I think he's just trying to take advantage of that opportunity as much as he can, because who knows if he's ever going to get the shot there again.
Right. And with Foligno, I mean, some people view him as a, you know, an older guy that's past his prime. That may be true, but it's a different comparison to, say, the other older guys on the Maple Leafs. Like Joe Thornton is, what, 8 years older than him, 41 compared to 33. Wayne Simmonds, the game that he played throughout his career, he may be around the same age, but he, you know, it seems like he's aged a little bit more just because he always played that physical net front game and hard hitting style and stuff like that. I know that Foligno has played that as well, but Foligno is still very relevant. And with this lineup placement, I view him in a higher caliber than I did when, say, early in the season, they were like, oh, Jumbo Joe's on the top line. Yeah, of course, for any game that he was up there, you'd throw him on your DFS list or stuff like that. But you never really took that too seriously, whereas Foligno could stick there for the rest of the season, go a point per game with his 10 games with the Maple Leafs, and the rest could be history. He'll cover categories for you. So if Foligno's out there in your league, I would take him very, very seriously. Another guy that's on the top line, and I wanted to ask you guys about, how do you view like fringe playoff teams? I know you were saying, Robbie, that, you know, some of the upper echelon teams, you want to get a piece of them any way you can. How do you view a team like the Blues that's constantly changing their top six? Like I see now it's Ryan O'Reilly with Braden Schenn playing left wing and Jordan Kyrou, who had a really hot start to the season. When I see a name like Kyrou on the top line for a team that is going to be on its toes and playing well down the stretch to make the playoffs, like I would pick up Kyrou in a heartbeat. He was plus two the other day playing with O'Reilly.
Yeah, teams like that for me are the second of my pecking order there in terms of differentiating who I'm going to pick up. I love adding from the Blues right now because you know each game down the stretch is going to be a tight competitive game. They're going to be playing a lot of one-goal games. You know, they're going to get good minutes out of their top forwards on the first line. Power play units probably going to be cohesive for the rest of the season. So I'd recommend strongly looking at St. Louis. Now, I know that we were debating their playoff chances on the program last week, and we were saying, well, they do have a very difficult schedule. But I think I'd argue that the Blues are a proven track record in the postseason when games matter. And I think down the stretch, James, you can probably rely on a team like that to get a little bit more fantasy value from any one of those guys in the top six and on the first power play than maybe a team like Detroit, where it might be a flash in the plan that could play spoiler. But I think you're going to get more long-term value this week and potentially next with a team like the Blues.
The only appealing thing about St. Louis right now is the fact that they have only played, you know, 45 games. So they have a few games in hand on some of the teams who are around them. You know, they're 1 point back of Arizona, and they have played three fewer games than the Coyotes have. But I just, you know, and call me, you know, what it is, but I've been down on St. Louis all season, and it's not, you know, a personal thing with St. Louis. I just don't think they're, you know, as good of a team as people, you know, expect them to be. And I think that really when push comes to shove, they're, you know, they don't have a lot of value right now. They have so much up and down in their game. You know, they're not consistent. Every time that they're, you know, shuffling lines, like at this point in the season, if you're shuffling lines as much as the Blues are trying to find something that works, that's a massive, massive red flag for me. And, you know, you drop David Perron down to the third line, where he for the last year and a half has probably been your most consistent forward. You know, you beat Minnesota 9-1. Then the next game you go to overtime against Minnesota, and then you lose three in a row. You know, so they just, the ebb and the flow of St. Louis right now is so mind-bogglingly inconsistent. And with them shuffling lines, it's just hard to really pinpoint where you want to go, because Jordan Kyrou could be playing on that line right now, but he only has 1 point or 2 points in his last 10 games, and he could throw up another zero spot and then be dropped down to the third line again tomorrow. So, you know, it's really hard to say with the consistency in their lineup right now how much I would trust them down the stretch, when the majority of the games that they have remaining are against Colorado, Minnesota, and Vegas.
I think one team that, you know, we've been, you know, up and down on in recent years, but is becoming really attractive to tap into, and I agree with you about St. Louis, like, you have every reason to, if you've been watching these games and seeing all their inconsistencies, you have every reason to fade that team. It's not as much as we think of the championship caliber group. It's just, you haven't seen the results much this year. But for Pittsburgh, like, now they're up at the top of the East Division. They got three games this week. That's a team that, even if they're playing three games this week against the Bruins and the Capitals, like, you got to start looking at that team differently. You got to tap into Kasperi Kapanen, and you got to tap into Jared McCann if he's still out there in your league. Malkin could come back at some point in the next 2 weeks, which would have a ripple effect on that lineup. Bobby's guy from last year, Cody Ceci, has actually been one of the most productive fantasy defensemen over the past 2 weeks. Sure, his name value is not where you'd want to put your trust in down the stretch, but with how well Pittsburgh is playing all season long, they're really consistent, and the guy's stringing together points and solid peripherals. So, you know, at a scarce defenseman position, like, don't be afraid to go out and pick up Cody Ceci, as crazy as it sounds.
You can go to Yahoo and sort by, you know, who's hot in the last 7 days, who's scoring for defensemen, and CC is going to be close to the top of that list. And I think when you're in this part of the season, you got to add a guy like that, no matter the name on the back of his sweater, no matter where he's playing in the lineup. If he's hot, he's hot. And at defenseman, Pete, after the top 30 guys, there's no value. So you might as well stream anybody that's got something going. And I remember early in the season, I was critical of the Penguins' depth. Well, that take I had to abandon quicker than my Rangers coming back and making the playoffs take. This Penguins team seems to everybody, whether it's McCann, whether it's guys on the third line, at times everybody is chipping in, everybody's getting points. And I think you're right. It doesn't really matter who they're playing. They show that they can play and compete against anybody in that division.
There's a reason why I'm winning my fantasy titles, because I've had CC on the team from day one. Forget about picking him up now. I've had him going for the entire season, and he's been great. I just piggybacked off of CC from last year, and away we go. Mike Sullivan, Pete, I know you always say this, but I have to tip the cap to Mike Sullivan on the coaching job that he's done with Pittsburgh. I did not expect them to be where they're at. And, you know, the players are playing well. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get to the cup final, but they've had a nice little season, better than I think a lot of folks have projected.
When you look at Pittsburgh right now, I think I saw a tweet last night when I was scrolling through my timeline, and it said something to the extent of, if you averaged everything out over an 82-game season right now, the Penguins would be on pace for 108 points, with the being in the top five in the NHL in man games lost to injury and COVID. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do. And I know we all had been fading Pittsburgh going into the season. We thought that, you know, it was coming to, you know, kind of an end of the run. You know, Crosby's getting up there, obviously, congratulations to him clinching a 16th career season, averaging more than a point per game, which is just absurd.
Insane.
It's incredible when you hear a stat like that. And the fact that they have been able to replace Evgeny Malkin's production on that second line, you know, Jared McCann, who's on the waiver wire list this week, and I've had him on there a couple of times earlier in the season as well. Since he was acquired from the Florida Panthers, he has been a very consistent player in that lineup on that second and third line. They have not slowed down, and the key to them is the depth has been there. The depth on defense behind Chris Letang. We always said, you know, the rest of that defense needed to step up offensively aside from Chris Letang. The rest of that offense needed to step up aside from that top line and Malkin. And they're getting it this year. Now, you can say the inconsistencies in goal could potentially cost them, because as good as Tristan Jarry has looked at times, there have also been times where he has not looked, you know, good at all. And you sit there and you question yourself. Casey DeSmith has had a few, you know, flub games in there too. So, you know, I would say that the weakest part of the link right now for them is their goaltending situation. But if they can continue to play and score as consistently as they do, it's going to be a very, very hard out for them this offseason, this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think like with Pittsburgh, they offer so much, and you can comfortably tap into them in fantasy for the final week or two of the season. Of course, you got to look at now on top of how many games played or how many games remaining, right, James? You got to also look at how many of those games fall into the parameters of your league, because I guess Yahoo as of now is not going to extend to the final extra week, which hurts teams like Vancouver and Colorado a little bit. And some of the teams that even maybe played those teams and the games got moved, like, you know, St. Louis's schedule got pushed back and Edmonton's schedule got pushed back. So just something to be aware of when you're looking at games remaining, look at the schedule for each team and see how many games fall into that final week. If you're in like a roto league where you're able to extend your season and your commissioner wants to do that, just make sure you're on the level playing field with how the schedule is looking, because it's even more complicated than it's ever been. That's why we haven't even really been able to do much strength of schedule other than week to week this year. It's been, you know, just because you don't know what the schedule is going to be and when these games are going to be made up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the one thing you really have to be looking out for each day is the schedule. Make sure your games are actually getting played. Make sure your goalies have the right ones starting. Can't tell you how many times I hit start active players at the beginning of the week, and then I have a goalie that's not even playing started over someone that is playing and likely recording a shutout, because that's the way it always works when you don't get that extra start. So definitely pay attention to that. James, I do want to talk about the two forwards on this list that aren't on contending teams, one of which is Bjorkstrand, who's the hottest guy points wise on the list, just ripping it up right now. And then Vrana, who battled an illness last week, but still managed to score 4 goals in a single game against the Dallas Stars. I think both these guys deserve some serious credit in fantasy and maybe even a spot on your championship roster.
Bjorkstrand has been one of those guys that we've all been high on, not just this season, but in seasons past right now. And he's getting hot at the right time. Obviously, we know the inconsistencies with the Blue Jackets, but when you look at a guy like Bjorkstrand, he first leads the team in points. So he has, 38 points on the season, 15 goals, 124 shots on goal. He had a 2 assists over the weekend against Tampa Bay on Sunday last night. And then he chipped in an assist against Tampa Bay the other night. So, he's scoring against the top teams in that division. He has a 5-game point streak right now, and all 5 of those games were against Dallas, Florida, and Tampa Bay. He has a very appealing matchup with Detroit tomorrow night. They have 2 games against Nashville after that. The problem with Columbus this week is they only play 2 games, and their games for this week are against Detroit and Carolina. Now, obviously, I still say you need to go out and pick up a guy like Bjorkstrand. He's a must roster player just because of his point scoring ability and the shots on goal. But he also does chip in, hits and block shots. But you will, if you're in like a weekly league where you're setting your lineup, tonight or when the league week starts, you're going to feel the effects of him only playing 2 games. A guy like Vrana playing 4 games this week. Yes, they are tough matchups, Columbus, Carolina, and then a back-to-back against Tampa Bay on Saturday and Sunday. So, he will probably slow down a little bit, but Detroit's giving him, kind of a free rein. They're letting him go, especially with Dylan Larkin being out of the lineup right now. They're, kind of giving Vrana that expanded role that we always wanted him to see in Washington, and now he's taking it. Both of these players are under 60% rostered in Yahoo. Vrana is 49% rostered in Yahoo. So, he's available out there, and I think these are guys that you need to be going out and targeting, even with difficult matchups coming up for each of them.
Right, and they're both guys that you don't care or you don't need to worry about who they're playing with because they're great standalone guys. I don't think there's another player on the Columbus Blue Jackets that I would roster in fantasy for the rest of the season, including Seth Jones, including their goalies. I just don't trust them. But, Bjorkstrand, tried and true, has done it regardless of opponent, regardless of lineup placement, regardless of whether he's on power play 1. And that's what you really need if you're going to tap into a team like Columbus. Other than him, I'm not touching anybody on that team for the rest of the season. And same for Detroit. I mean, like, they have some hidden value on that team. I guess Vrana plays with Zadina and Rasmussen. So it's like not any line mates that are going to get the best out of him, but he's going to do it on its own because he's a great even strength goal scorer, and he's going to create fortunes for himself with the way he plays. And I think he's got a chip on his shoulder as well after, kind of getting banished a little bit in Washington and then traded shortly after. So I had him in my weekly league that I had Rantanen in actually in the lineup last week. And I had Vrana in there as well. And he carried me through the week. So major performance for Jacob Vrana. And I'm very confident in that player, not only down the stretch, but also in the years to come. He's showing a lot here.
And sometimes when the ceiling is that high for a player, it doesn't matter, necessarily the opponent or the number of games. In this case, obviously he benefits from the 4 games, but even if you're looking at a player like Burakovsky too, who might drop down to the second line, the ceiling is still so high there for the player that I still would not hesitate to pick them up in a head-to-head weekly league. I do want to talk though about Sam Bennett here. This one in keeper leagues too, I think, is a fascinating conversation now because he's been so dynamite on that second line. The only time where he hasn't played top 6 minutes is when he got a game misconduct and had 17 PIMs for the night, still had a point two in that game. So Bennett's been a tremendous fit for Florida. Certainly more, I think, than any one of us would have expected right away. What do you see in there, James, not only for the rest of the season here for this player, but kind of might what you want to look at him in like a keeper league going forward now?
You know, I don't know if I'm necessarily going out and running on Sam Bennett in a keeper league the way I would potentially be considering a guy like Vrana. But I think that obviously Bennett is a must own player in fantasy right now. Him and Anthony Duclair as well. Over the last 2 weeks, Duclair has 9 points and is a plus 13 with 14 shots on goal and 7 hits in that span. So, you know, the two of them playing alongside Jonathan Huberdeau, you definitely have to be targeting in any league, in any format whatsoever. You know, but I'm going to stop short of saying that Sam Bennett is one of those guys you need to be, you know, running out and considering as a keeper. But 49% rostered, 6 points right now with Florida, 16 shots and 19 hits. Just the category coverage that he gets alone is just blowing away anything that he was really doing with Calgary. And so I would say that he's a must-add player in fantasy. And he's one of those guys who you definitely should be drafting probably next year inside the top 120 or 130, especially if, you know, by this point or by the start of next season, they keep him in that top six with a guy like Huberdeau. I think Florida wants to keep Huberdeau and Barkov on separate lines because they've both now proven that they can be that standalone production commodity that you really need in the NHL to be competitive nowadays. You need those two lines. And so, you know, I would definitely say target him early next year, earlier than you normally would have. But I don't know if I'm running to keep him in the league right now.
Well, Florida, Robbie knows from his power rankings, they're top five, but they actually have the most players in the top 200 rankings on NHL.com as of last week, 13. That's without Aaron Ekblad. So pretty insane stuff in terms of depth for them. I agree with you, James, about Florida spreading it out the rest of the season in the playoffs. Of course, in the playoffs, if things get to a dire situation, they could always go back in the third period to Barkov and Huberdeau playing with anybody. Hopefully Verhaeghe's back in the lineup by that time. He's still out with the injury, I think nearing that 2 week timetable, but we'll see if he comes back. They have no reason to rush him if he's still not fully healthy. Duclair and Sam Bennett on the second line have been a great fit that I think could extend to next season. Bennett is a 2021 RFA. You'd expect they'd bring him back. He's shown enough for fantasy. He's tri-eligible. He covers hits. He's got 19 hits in 5 games. I mean, that's crazy, right? That's like, I mean, insane. You don't usually see a guy that can score at the clip he's scoring at, average like 4 hits a game or something like that. So really impressive category coverage. And Duclair, I mean, his roster percentage is a lot lower than Bennett's. Bennett's is pushing 50% now. I think Duclair is still in the 30s. So you could still tap into him if he's out there on the wire. But Florida just like suddenly morphing into one of the best fantasy teams, like we talked about last week and the week before. I mean, we've been beating the drum on Sam Bennett for a few weeks now, and he has not disappointed in any particular game. And, you know, he's been the sneakiest acquisition of the trade deadline so far.
I was watching their game on Saturday against the Carolina Hurricanes, and that felt like a playoff win when Barkov scored that goal in overtime. Like, they were playing so hard. Both those teams were going. And the reason I even brought up Sam Bennett's name in the keeper conversation is because I'm in a pretty deep keeper league where the draft picks aren't worth a whole lot anymore. You're not going to get a whole lot of talent there. And now, unfortunately, this was a weekly lineup lock league. I will never play that format again. I am scarred from this season. The amount of games I lost, James, for that team, unbelievable. So I will not be playing that format. Hopefully the commissioner is on board with that change moving forward too. But I just think what you said about how they want to keep Barkov and Huberdeau separated, Huberdeau at worst is a 75-point player at worst now. So if you have him there on the second line, Sam Bennett's good for 60 over a full season, probably minimum. Like, his floor just got so much higher with that emergence of him being almost a permanent fixture with Huberdeau. Now, again, I'm projecting here into the future, but I could see that. And then with Barkov, it doesn't really matter. I mean, he can play with anybody, whether Gusev sticks around or not. Like, we'll wait to see on that. But Verhaeghe looked great up there when he was healthy. So I think they have a really good thing going here in Florida. Again, why I think Bill Zito should win GM of the year just because these moves have made them a legitimate contender and now can win around. And I really do think that Sam Bennett will be the top five pick, that he had the pedigree with Calgary, just never got the opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Jonathan Huberdeau, he's on pace, if you expand it out over in 82-game pace, he's on pace right now for 87 points. And that's, you know, he has played a few games here and there with Alexander Barkov, but, you know, for 95-plus percent of the season, outside of the, you know, power play, they've played them apart. Now, he does have 19 you know, power play points on the year. So, you know, he is being very, very productive when they are playing together on that first unit. But, you know, that's still over 30 points, 33 points at even strength and 49 games right now for Huberdeau. He is a standalone option. And I think that, you know, his production there coupled with a guy like Bennett, you know, and you look at just how little they are paying Bennett and Duclair combined right now. Obviously they're going to get raises this offseason, but Florida has, you know, a unique ability. I mean, it just, even if you look at, you know, their top six right now, they're paying, you know, Bennett, his salary, I think Duclair, they're paying under $1.5 million this season. Nikita Gusev playing on the top line right now. Obviously it's a prorated contract, but they're paying him under $1 million. Like if they could bring these guys back, somewhere in like the you know, 3 to 4 million range for all three of them next season, and keep that, you know, that top six intact with those three guys, and they keep Gusev on that top line with Barkov, and then a guy like Verhaeghe comes back. I mean, it's scary how deep that team can get, and the combinations, even if they have to, you know, bump a guy like Hornquist up into the top six, or they tried Duclair back on that first line. You know, they have some unbelievable combinations down there right now. And it's something you have to be tapping into if you have the opportunity.
And they're one of the only teams that has three strong goalies. And I think if you can get, you probably already are rostering either Bobrovsky or Driedger, but Driedger might be out there in some shallow formats to stream. He's a must stream whenever he's in net. Same with Spencer Knight. If he gets another start or two the rest of the way, like Robbie said on last week's show, it's going to be a quality start with that team. That team proved they could beat Carolina the other day. They've proven they could beat Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter who they play. The Florida Panthers are worth tapping into here down the stretch. For goalies down the stretch, final 2+ weeks of the season, regardless of format, I know there are a lot of people out there that don't have many good names out there on the goalie front. Do you guys see anybody out there that's worth picking up? Like, I know there's like a couple of new names. Like there was that UPL from Luukkonen from the Buffalo Sabres beat the Boston Bruins the other day. And then on the flip side, you thought like Ilya Sorokin would be in a good spot against the Washington Capitals, but then he got shelled. He gave up 6 goals and that burned some people over the weekend. So you're going to see some good performances from some no names, and then some guys let you down in the process as well. So what do you guys like make of the goalie landscape right now, if you're in a league with not much out there on the waiver wire?
Yeah. You know, I don't think you can really hang too much on Ilya Sorokin. I mean, he gave up a few bad goals, but he had been playing so well. That was really his first bad game since his first career start against the Rangers, the second game of the season. Sure. Yeah, so he was due for a regression game. He gave up, you know, 2 or 3 softies, but the Islanders just did not play well in front of him either on Saturday night when he started that one. So, you know, that game was lost pretty early, even when the Islanders had it tied. Yeah, you know, I think that being able to tap into a team like Buffalo right now, I would probably stay away from them, unless it's a really, really appealing matchup, if they have anything left against maybe Philadelphia or New Jersey. Jeremy Swayman from Boston, I would absolutely jump on him anytime that he has a spot start. Matt Murray has actually been playing really well over the past 2 weeks. I know he's day-to-day right now. He left their game with a lower body injury against Vancouver over the weekend, but you know, he has over his past 2 weeks, a 954 save percentage and a a 137, you know, goals against average. He's only allowed 6 goals against in his last 5 appearances. So, you know, I could see a guy like him, because he's 23% rostered. If you have the opportunity to go out and pick him up, we've talked about this guy on the program before, which you have to go out and get Nedeljkovic from Carolina. With Mrazek injured right now and unsure when he's going to be back, you have to tap into this guy. You know, he's tied for the league lead with Andre Vasilevsky for goaltenders who have started a minimum of 15 games, a 930 save percentage. And of those qualifying goaltenders, he leads the league with a 1.98 goals against average, only 54% rostered in Yahoo League. So you need to go out and add this guy right now, if you have the ability to, because I think even after Mrazek comes back, with how good Nedeljkovic is playing, they're going to give him the shot for the rest of the season.
I'll beat the drum here for Braden Holtby for the Vancouver Canucks. I think this is going to be the best finish for a goalie that we'll see in the NHL. And he has the pedigree, so that's out of the way. But the most fascinating thing for me that I saw about Vancouver this morning on my pre-show ritual, they have 92.2 5-on-5 save percentage, which is tied for 11th in the league with Vegas and Boston, despite giving up the most shots against per game. It's absolutely unbelievable. And Braden Holtby's been dynamite. 3 straight wins in a row. I can't believe they did not give him that game against Ottawa where Demko lost it. I cannot believe they didn't give that to him. But, of course, they didn't. So now they'll give him these next 2, I'm sure, against Ottawa. Actually, I got tripped on Twitter. Someone was like, how do you know Holtby's going to start off 4? I don't. I'm just assuming they're going to ride the hot hand here. Definitely the next 2. And he's got a 925 save percentage at worst coming back from their hiatus there. I don't care who they're playing. I think that's going to be a tight team down the rest of the way, James. And Vancouver, I know they have defensive, you know, liability, all of that, but they've proven they can hang in games, even getting outshot, and they still have the horses on offense to get a couple goals and stay in the game.
Yeah, and Holtby is the other goaltender that I have on the waiver list this week, aside from Nedeljkovic, 43% rostered. They do play 4 games this week, so they have 2 against Ottawa and 2 against Toronto, which are the 2 teams that Holtby has beaten in his 3 games since they returned from the COVID pause that they had. I would say he's probably going to get the start tonight against Ottawa. I don't know if he'll get the start on Wednesday against Ottawa because they play Toronto on Thursday. So I would probably expect Demko to get the start on Wednesday and then Holtby to get the start at Toronto on Thursday. And then if he plays well in that game, he'll probably see the start against Toronto again on Saturday. But I can easily see him getting 3 of the 4 starts this week.
And back to Boston, they play the Sabres twice this week. They lost to them last week when Pekka Luukkonen played. They're probably not going to lose to the Sabres again, just knowing that team, knowing what they're fighting for in the division. So, and yeah, you're almost looking now with Swayman's efficiency and Halak kind of like Demko coming off the COVID pause where he was on the protocol list. You know, it's been, you know, they haven't played very much, maybe a little rusty. Maybe they're more inclined to play Swayman in one of those 2 games against Buffalo later in the week. Speaking of Boston over a Halak, we'll see. They're another team working 3 goalies right now. They're in pretty good shape for the playoffs with Rask back healthy as well. So, yes, Wayman's been really good. Only a couple of goals allowed over his past 3 games, and he's 2-1 in the stretch. All low-scoring games. So Boston's a team like Colorado like that where, you know, they're not going to give up many shots, and these guys have a chance at a shutout. So even if you're playing with fire a little bit and looking at Swayman or Halak and saying, I don't know if they're going to play one of those 2 games against Buffalo, might be worth the risk, because if they do play, that is, you know, ripe shutout potential for either of those guys.
And it doesn't really matter the matchup with those teams either. Like, I know Nick Alberga texted us yesterday, Petey, and was like, do I start Jari against Boston? Do I start, you know, Vasi against Columbus? We're like, obviously with Vasi. And then we kind of had to think about, would I roll Jari out against like a team like Boston who was starting Swayman? Mm-hmm. The answer this time of year for good teams is yes. Just start those guys, because likely, even if they get a loss, it's going to be a tight game. Swayman played really well, still returned some value in fantasy. So I think down the stretch, as long as the team is good enough, you still roll them out. But back to Holtby, as long as he's playing as hot as he is, again, I'm not looking at the matchup so much you know, and grimacing, I'm going out, you know, putting him in my starting lineup and trusting that he's going to get me some good peripherals, even in a loss.
Yeah, I definitely trust where Holtby is right now. And that's probably something we weren't saying about 6 or 8 weeks ago. But with how he's playing, I think he looks a little rejuvenated coming out of the pause. And I think he's really just trying to prove a lot of people wrong. That you know, everybody was second guessing that this signing, and you know, he's just coming out. He looks more focused. He looks a lot cleaner. He looks like he's just playing, you know, more free. And you know, I would definitely be tapping into him. Another guy who, you know, as just a spot start, if you're looking for somebody, Anthony Stolarz from Anaheim. You know, obviously he gave up 4 goals in his last outing against the Kings, but he plays the Kings again here on Monday. So, you know, he could be a really deep value guy in, you know, fantasy lineups or DFS lineups. Over the last 2 weeks, he does have a 1.67 goals against and a 9.48 save percentage in 3 games that he started, one shutout. So, you know, I could see if he maybe gets a nod against the Kings again on Monday night, you know, he would be a guy to take a flyer on.
I'm passing on that one, James. I'm not rolling Stolarz tonight against anybody.
Stoli the goalie. He definitely had a couple of big performances against the Sharks when they had that horrible stretch. I think the shutout came against them. So it depends on the matchup with a guy like that. But again, don't be surprised if a guy gets a shutout from Anthony Stolarz at some point in the next 2 weeks and like hoist the fantasy trophy because of it. Like we've seen it so many times before. And as far as goalie flexibility, we're talking about skater flexibility as well. Definitely encourage, especially that we're down to the wire here, only, you know, a week left, 2 weeks left. Like look at your lineup for the busy game days. See if somebody's going to be ending up on your bench on Thursday and Saturday, and go out there and look at like a Jeff Carter who's scoring every other night for the Penguins, and he's tri-eligible. That's what we love so much about Sam Bennett so far. You can slot him in wherever you want. Yanni Gourde is another one, center, left wing, right wing eligible from a very strong team. Like get one of these guys on your team and don't leave anybody on your bench. Like try to maximize the games at this point in the season.
Yeah, no, you can't. You cannot let that go. I learned that the hard way. That is why I'm no longer playing fantasy. So I'll be helping everybody out. Already answered a ton of questions on Twitter this morning. And two nuggets before we end the program here. One, I saw a stat on Connor McDavid that's ridiculous from Matt Larkin on Twitter. At 5-on-5, Oilers are plus 88 in scoring chances with McDavid on the ice. Without him, they're minus 183. So let that be known about the Oilers playoff odds this year. Might want to abandon that at all costs. And then secondly, I just saw Patrick Waugh has a new agent that will be placing him, quote unquote, with an NHL team, whether it's behind the bench or in management. So I don't know if that's the press box in Montreal or behind the bench in Buffalo, but certainly a good storyline to keep an eye on as regular hockey wraps up here too.
I like that one. Get Patrick Waugh back into the mix. I got a pick for tonight. I think Florida, two tough games against Carolina. Now they head to Nashville. Nashville at plus money at home. Must win for them. I like Nashville tonight against Florida. Not a sledgehammer, but I do like that price for Nashville at plus money. Listen, Florida's had a tough couple series here, and Carolina, they wear you down. Nashville's got to win. So I hate to bet against Florida as well as they're going, but I'll take Nashville tonight.
I will actually jump because it has been it's been a little while. So I will jump on the sledgehammer bandwagon for this Monday. It's not an overwhelming underdog, but I like Montreal tonight at plus 110 against Calgary. I know Calgary's beaten them the last two games. This is the third game in the set that they're playing against them. But I think that, you know, it's getting a little tight there in the standings, and Montreal needs a win. They're only 4 points up on Calgary. So I think Montreal comes out and gets it done tonight. I think Jake Allen has looked, solid enough in most of his starts lately. So I'm taking the sledgehammer tonight on Montreal plus 110 to win against Calgary.
Nice. I like there's some plus numbers out there. The Jets have been good to us when they're plus what home underdogs, and they are slightly against Edmonton tonight. I don't understand that one, so I would side with the Jets on that one. A lot of urgency for the Blues, but I do like the fact that the Avs lost to the Blues the other day. Even without Grubauer and Rantanen, you would assume they bounce back and maybe win by 2+ goals against the Blues. I know the Blues are desperate, but all it takes for the puck line is one empty netter. So I really like the chances at +155 for the Avalanche to win by a goal or a goal and a half. I might sledge that one. Actually, I will sledge that one. The Avalanche goal and a half +155. I just like the value on that. Haven't thrown out the sledge in a while, but yeah. And then two other guys that I wanted to mention, just because I was talking about tri-eligible guys, Casey Mittelstadt, Buffalo Sabres, has been really productive. And also Igor Sharangovich for the Devils has put together some garbage points. He gets involved, even if that team puts up a late rally in a game. And he's playing like top 6 minutes every single night. So both of those guys from teams you wouldn't normally flock to this time of year, putting up some garbage points and trending in the right direction heading into the offseason for Buffalo and New Jersey, respectively.
Buffalo is going to be a good case study when the season's over. We can kind of look back on how they started playing better without some of their top offensive guys in the lineup and now made way for the next class of Mittelstadt and Reinhardt, as you mentioned, has been fantastic. I will be joining James on the Canadian sledge tonight, so I'll hop alongside you there, Jamesy. And then I will take a sledge on the Canucks with the caveat if they start Braden Holtby. So that's two sledges for me tonight, Canucks Holtby. And then alongside James, we're back on the Habs. I never feel good about those bets with the Canadians this season, but we're doing it. It's a 6:30 start. Something's got to go right for them.
Yeah. I think something's got to go right for the Canadians. And I think tonight is the night that they get it done. I can't see them losing three in a row to Calgary.
James, thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate it as always. We appreciate you've been coming on every week, the whole season, man. We appreciate the consistency and the extra effort, man.
Yeah, no, it's always great talking to you guys. Always a lot of fun. A lot of work goes into figuring out who's going on the list every week, and so it's great to come on always and talk to you guys. And just a quick shout out, some other news that broke this morning: Andrew Shaw retiring after multiple issues over his career with dealing with concussions. So never really too much of a fantasy relevant guy, but always chipped in here and there in DFS and on the waiver wire. But he won a cup in his career and played really, really big minutes and big games for Chicago and Montreal, and so retiring today because of concussion issues. But good luck to him, and hope he stays healthy.
Well-deserved Stanley Cup championship, and he was a great asset in bangers leagues before that became trendy. So Shaw was way ahead of the curve in that sense in fantasy. Tip our caps there to him at Waiver Wire. James, direct your questions to the master at the Waiver Wire on Twitter for any weekly pickups and advice. For PD, it's NHL Jensen. For all of us, it's at NHL Fantasy, and you can catch me at NHL Reese. We'll be back with you Wednesday morning.